Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist here on Real Liberty Media. I'm going to invite you at this time of year, fall, my favorite season, kind of kicks off what I know is going to be like 6 to 9 months of cooler weather, some awesome storms, maybe thunderstorms, some freezing rain, snow. Come along with me and catch up on some shows over at Real Liberty Media. You can listen to Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony. He's going to arm you for some counter propaganda tactics. Listen to the Dork Table, all kinds of interesting conversations going on there. You can also catch It's All Connected. Grimner and Circle will kind of connect all the dots for you, no matter what the subject, they're going to connect it up for you. And Free Your Mind is a great show, talks about liberty and freedom. Those two, Grimner and Moose Girl, have a great show. Some great archives there. Listen to them and kind of become familiar with being totally free. Ponder Gander has some great topics. He's a deep thinker with a lot of good subject matter. You can catch me, the Redneck Dentist. And we also have two musical shows you can listen to, the Sunday Blues, which are archived, and the Top 10 Countdown, which has top 10 songs from years past with a little bit of history or behind the scenes story on each one. So join me, the Redneck Dentist, over on Real Liberty Media, catching up on some of these archived podcasts. It's a great time of year to do it. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Hope you guys are all having a great week, weekend. I am, definitely, as you all know. I had that cataract surgery this week. I'll talk about that in a minute because I have some pretty interesting things I want to share with you. I do want to kind of keep an eye on my meters this week. Last week's recording kind of sucked because I was overdriving the mic. And it was only on certain words, so like a lot of the audio was clean, and then there was a nasty chirp in there. So it kind of looks like everything's playing out pretty good right now. So first of all, I want to say it was really nice. I saw Grimner in the chat room this morning. He had a little issue. I'm not going to talk about it. If you were in the chat room, you know, or you can find out from him. But he seemed like he was in good spirits. He was just waiting for some breakfast. So good to see you, Grimner. Hurry back. We're all sending you positive thoughts. So I hope you're getting better. I hope you're feeling stronger every day. And it's good to see you. So thanks. I hope everybody goes to Real Liberty Media and checks out some of those shows. Like I mentioned in the intro, there's a lot of shows to catch up on. There's some really great information there. So be sure and go over and just download some of the podcast shows if you can't catch anything live. It looks like I'm still kind of pounding the mic a bit here. Okay, let's try that. See if that's any better. Maybe I should talk real loud for a sec. Okay, still no red. Okay, sorry. But, you know, using new software for, this is the third week, so last week was a glitch. Hopefully this week is much better. So I had my cataract surgery on Tuesday, and let me tell you how amazing that is. So right now, need a brief break here for a sec. Okay. So, I was talking about this cataract surgery and how amazing it is and how fast things change in your life. So I'm sitting here right now in front of my computers, my little home studio here, and I literally can, even though I only had one eye done so far, the other eye will be done in December 21st, I can pretty much read everything on the screen. Which is really weird because I still have one eye with cataract and you know, the other eye is fixed. And what's really strange is, of course, I have my prescription glasses for near and far vision. And that the one lens on the eye that's fixed, the left eye, of course, when I put the glasses on, it screws up my vision in that eye, because the prescription was made for when that eye wasn't fixed. So it's a little irritating to wear glasses, but it's not irritating to not wear glasses and be able to read pretty much everything that I want to read. So that's pretty awesome. But let me tell you a couple things that are it's really crazy about having your eye covered. Now, I can't say applies to everybody, but I'm going to give you my experience, and I'm going to tell you, I actually talked to my ophthalmologist, the surgeon, about it, and he said, yes, that's true. So this is what I'm going to tell you, two things that are really crazy. So for 24 hours, you have a patch over your eye after surgery. And you cannot see out of that patch. It's your eye is completely covered. One thing I noticed, okay, the first day, you know, just because they do put you to sleep for a couple minutes, and I'm kind of a puss when it comes to, you know, any kind of anesthetics or sedation. I was pretty sleepy, you know, just wanted to kind of kick it and sleep for the day. But when I was up and experiencing different places in my home, but I've been here for 20 years, so it's not like this is a new house or new environment for me. But what I'm going to tell you is really kind of bizarre. So I have a little covered area right outside the man cave, the home studio here, and I was standing out there, and I was looking into the north pasture. Now, to my left, there's a outdoor TV on the wall. Now, I couldn't see that TV with my eyes because it was on my left, and that eye was patched, and I could not see the TV. But while I was standing there, I noticed that I had that TV in my vision, like in my field of view. And I was like, that's impossible. My eyes covered. So I turned and looked at the TV. Now, I'm not talking about a TV that's turned on with a program going. I'm just talking about the TV, the square TV turned off, you know, hanging on the wall. So I kind of tested it, like, I looked back to the right to make sure that that TV was not in my field of vision, and I just stayed still for a minute, and sure as heck, my brain filled in all the missing parts of what was on my left. Now, I'm sure it's because, you know, I've lived here for a long time, and everything that was on the left is kind of embedded in my memory. So, it was kind of crazy, and I tested it a couple other places in the house just to see, you know, if it was a brain thing or not. And then when I went and saw my surgeon the following day for follow-up, I asked him about it, and he said, yeah, that's true. Your brain will fill in, you know, things that you've experienced before. Now, I don't know how long that lasts. It kind of seems to me like it's a phantom vision memory thing, which kind of would make sense to me. But I'll tell you something else that was really crazy. So when you have one eye patched and one eye is doing all your, you know, visual stuff for you, if you hold still for some period of time, I could get it to happen at will if I wanted to. And that is this. So your eye that is not patched, of course, is taking in all this visual stimulus. And the eye that's patched is taking in, you know, darkness. And if you didn't do anything for a minute or so, you would suddenly switch to your patched eye and not see anything, even though your, you know, unpatched eye was open. And, I asked him about that too, and he said, yeah, it's pretty normal. It's like you're, you know, if you weren't really doing anything with the uncovered eye, it's like the other eye just takes over. It's like, okay, let's go to darkness for a minute. Now, I hope none of that portends some disastrous future. I don't think it does. He didn't make it sound like it was anything like that. So, anyway, kind of some crazy stuff that nobody really told me, anybody who's had cataract surgery that I talked to in the last few months about it. Nobody really mentioned any of that stuff. So just kind of interesting stuff, but holy cow. So he took the patch off the day after surgery. He took the patch off my eye and he gave me the little thing to cover my other eye. And, you know, he did the vision test. And I could tell that I could read a lot more lines than I could before, but it was really blurry. And he said, yeah, it's going to be blurry for, you know, first day or so. And then he scooted his chair up and he put that machine, you know, they have to put your chin in, and he kind of, you know, looks in your eyeball. And he goes, oh. He goes, I left that cornea patch on there. Let me take that off. And he took that cornea patch off. And then I could see much better. So it's kind of amazing how fast that correction is. It's amazing. I don't know why they don't do it sooner. I guess they have to wait. You know, I know he's telling me, you know, and I've had these cataracts since 2018, and you know, you go in and get checked and you think, okay, well, when are we going to fix this? And he ended up telling me, oh, I don't know, one or two times ago, he said your vision has to be at a certain level before the insurance company will pay for the surgery, which was kind of crazy, but okay. So I guess I finally got to that point. And he did say that they could make an argument because I'm a dentist, they maybe could do it early, but, you know, as long as I could tolerate it, to just tolerate it. Well, I couldn't tolerate it anymore. I was done with it. And I'm kind of excited about seeing what it's going to be like when the next one is done. So that was pretty awesome. Hey, but I do want to tell you kind of a funny story. Right before, so Tuesday at, we were going to leave here at, I think, 9:30. Yeah, I think like 9:30 we were going to leave. About 10 after 9, I get a notification that the Green Bay Packers were putting 300,000 stock up for sale. Yeah, I know everybody, you know, whatever. I'm a Packer fan. I've been a Packer fan all my life. And I heard this, and I'm like, holy hell, we got to buy at least one share of this stock just for fun, man. It's not like it comes available all the time. And, you know, the Green Bay Packers are the only publicly owned NFL team, as far as I know. I'm pretty sure they're the only publicly owned NFL team. So, and my wife, of course, is from Wisconsin, and her mom, you know, was from Wisconsin. And, you know, so it was a thing. The Packers have always been a thing in both of our families. And so, of course, she was all over it. Like, yeah, we got to get some Packers stock. And I'm like, crap, I'm going to get this cataract surgery. So we logged on to we each independently logged on to the website real quick that you had to log on to get in line for the surgery. I mean, for the stock. And, you know, it kind of showed where you were in line by this long horizontal bar. And, you know, when you first log in, you're way at the left side of the bar. And, you know, so, you know, as we're driving to, there's a 45-minute drive over to Newburgh where the surgery was done. Really, it's probably 35 minutes, but depending on traffic. So anyway, we're waiting the whole time, like during the pre-op, during the prep, we're kind of checking, and we notice, okay, this line is not moving fast at all. So maybe when I come out of surgery, we'll get it done. But no, it was, and then I was, of course, I was telling everybody there, look, I'm trying to buy Packers stock, you know, so we got to keep an eye on this website. Really, I didn't. I wasn't that much of a pain in the ass. But what I'm saying is, it's kind of funny that it came up on the same day that I was getting this surgery done. And the two things were really happening at exactly the same time. So anyway, we get done with the surgery. And, you know, you don't have to be there very long because they only put you to sleep so that they can, number one, numb up around your eye, and number two, paralyze the muscles of your eye. So, of course, your eye isn't moving around while they're trying to make an incision. So they put you to sleep for that because I'll bet it's damn painful. And thank God I was asleep for it. But and then they wake you up and they take you in the OR and then they drape your eye and put stuff on and then they lower this microscope onto your eyeball and then they do their thing. And you're awake the whole time and you can't do a damn thing. Like when he got done doing the surgery, and I've known this guy for over 20 years, so just so you know, he wasn't a jerk or anything. We get all done, and he goes, okay, Mike, close your eyes. And, of course, I closed my eyes, but only my right one closed. And I said, I can't close my eye. And he goes, yeah, I know. And then he reached down and closed my eye for me. Surgeons have a kind of a funny sense of humor, I think. But anyway, so then you go into the recovery area, and they get you some juice and a muffin, and, you know, you eat and drink, and then when you feel like going, they let you go. And it was pretty much that easy. It was awesome. And came home and, you know, ever since then, every single day has been a bit of improvement. Have a follow-up on the 29th. That's considered, I guess, the 10-day follow-up because of the holidays and stuff. I guess that's just the way it pans out. But anyway, successful. And we got Packer stock. Yo, that's what I was getting at. Is so we get all done. We get in the car. We drive all the way home. We're kind of looking at the little, you know, stock meter to see where we are in line. And it's getting close. But sure enough, we got home. And like 20 minutes later, we got notification. Okay, it's your turn to go on and buy stock. You have 10 minutes to log in. And we just logged in and bought stock. It was $300 if anybody cares. And so we each bought one stock. And, you know, happy birthday and Merry Christmas to both of us. So, yeah, that was kind of fun. Man, I have some stuff today. You notice the title of the show is Fauci's skeleton is just keep piling up, literally. There was two things that, one thing somebody in the chat room turned me on to, and one thing I got a notification in my email. Both interviews were about an hour long. Well, one wasn't an interview. It was more of a discussion by Glenn Beck. It was awesome. The other one was on Corbett Report, and it was with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I got to tell you, if you haven't been directed to that, you should go listen to that one-hour interview with Corbett and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. For several reasons. I guess I'm going to get into that in a minute, though, because I did want to talk about Kyle Rittenhouse. it was kind of crazy. I think, like many people, I figured this was a foregone conclusion that he was going to be found guilty, even though I thought he was not guilty. And I thought, even though maybe what he did wasn't the smartest thing in the world to do. But actually, if you watched the trial and you actually got to hear why he was where he was and what he actually did before the shooting and before the riots, and, you know, I mean, the kid was, I don't know if he was 17 or 18 when the whole thing happened. He's a young kid. That's the bottom line. And, you know, he was found not guilty, which really in some ways shocked me because, you know, we're living in this time when things just don't make sense. You know, laws are being broken daily and laws are being threatened to be broken daily by the very people in charge. So it was kind of crazy that, you know, when I heard that they actually found him not guilty, I was like, wow, man, there's been a glitch in the space-time continuum here that, even though that's what I thought and it's what I thought should be the right thing, I did not expect that to come out of that, trial at all. It was pretty shocking. But, you know, so my wife and I were kind of talking about it on the way home from town. We went to town to do a little shopping. I think she said, you know, he probably shouldn't even have gone there. And I said, well, maybe he shouldn't have gone there. Not 100% sure about that. I said, you know what? Here's the deal. You know, sometimes I think to myself, when are people going to do something? And I have to say, Kyle did something. I bet he's not thrilled with the results himself. He probably doesn't feel good that he killed two people. I would imagine he doesn't feel too great about killing two people. I'm speculating, of course. You know, maybe would he have done things different if he knew how things were going to turn out? Who knows? There's, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. But the kid actually did something. He actually went to help his friends and to defend something that he believed in. And I say, you know, good for him. You know, good for him. Not good that he killed anybody, but good for him for actually doing something. For not just sitting on his butt and complaining, kind of like I'm doing right now. But he actually did something. So maybe he shouldn't have been there. Maybe he should. I mean, at least he was proactive. At least he went and did versus not. Yeah, by the time I'm done with this show today, I'm 100% sure people are going to call me crazy, which is fine. Probably some of the stuff I'm going to cover today is going to sound pretty crazy. I can guarantee you there's some stuff I'm going to talk about today that whether you've heard it before or not, I know that you haven't heard it from me, it's going to sound insane. Hey, but fortunately, this is an entertainment program. So all the disinformation I'm going to spread today is purely for entertainment purposes. Oh, should we start off with some simple stuff? Let's see. Yeah, we should. Mandates. Let's look at OSHA mandates. So this drives me crazy. So, you know, whoever filed some lawsuits against the federal government saying you can't extend these, you know, OSHA mandates to private corporations and force private corporations into following, you know, these mandates. And so, you know, apparently everything was put on hold for a little bit, or is put on hold, at least for now. But what really drives me crazy is we have private corporations that are just going, we're going to go ahead and do them anyway. And I just think to myself, what, where did you come from? Like, where did you come from to start a private business? And let me tell you, like, when you have a private business, you know how much the government interferes with your ability to produce income, to produce profit. And, of course, the state and federal, sometimes even the city and or town, county, all those governments have their hand in your pocket one way or another. Sometimes, in some places, there's tax at every level, permit, a business license, property tax, sales tax, you know, employee tax. I mean, you know, there's just constant interference from governments. And then you have, like, the federal government saying, okay, we're going to mandate that private companies, you know, enforce these mandates on their employees. And I just think to myself, like, why would you, if then somebody sues OSHA or the federal government because they know it's an overreach, why would you go ahead and, like, play the game? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand why you wouldn't be more, like, freedom-oriented. Like, let your employees be free. Let your business be free. You know, let your representation of what life is like here in the United States represent liberty and freedom. Like, why people would jump on this bandwagon when they have a private business is beyond me. But in a little bit, hopefully, when I talk about the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. interview, he actually had some interesting information at the end of that with Corbett, the Corbett Report, that really kind of even made me think a little bit about this kind of war that we have between us by identifying with one side or another. And he's a pretty smart guy. Pretty smart guy. Pretty interesting interview for sure. When am I going to get to that? Oh, God, I don't know. Before this hour is up, I can guarantee you that, because I do not want to miss out on that. A couple things. Oh, my God. I don't know if you guys saw this. So Bill Gates actually did an interview where he said, yeah, you know, this vaccine really doesn't prevent transmission. We need a better method of vaccinating people. Yeah, thanks, Bill. Doesn't seem like he's... You know, the thing is, he's so emotionless about what a screw-up it's been for him. You know, and at least somebody is admitting that this thing does not stop transmission. And he did say it does lessen the severity of the disease, but you guys know how I feel about that. There's no way, there is absolutely zero way you can tell that one person's disease course would be shortened by having this vaccine or not. It's just impossible. At best, it's a subjective, theoretical guess. Drink time. Everybody drink up. Barman, set them up. Oh, barman isn't on voice. We're going to have to do something about that, Grimner. All right, let's go over here to page 2, see what other kind of stuff. Oh, this was crazy. Everybody kind of knows that Sweden kind of took a different approach to this whole COVID pandemic. And so there's an article. Of course, all of this stuff will be in the show notes. Oh, and by the way, a lot of the stuff I talk about later, in case I forget to say it later, there's a ton of documentation. There's over 2,000 documents. I actually ordered the book so I can access the documents appropriately. So today is kind of fantasy. I'm just going to be telling you stuff or talking about stuff that I learned, and there's not going to be a lot of source to it until I get that source in my hand. And some of the source documents are in other languages that have to be, you know, have to be Google interpreted. Haven't had time to do it yet. So, you know, that's going to be a lot of work. I got a feeling this is going to take a couple weeks, but it doesn't matter really. Hopefully what does matter is that more and more people gain education, and eventually we actually get out of this. Although I do have some doubts about getting out of this. It would take a massive change of like world mentality for us to get out of this pandemic. And I just don't know if it's going to happen or not. Kind of my point about that is this. We can do absolutely nothing, and that's cool. I mean, that's absolutely cool with me. I guess for some reason, I choose to continue to gain information and education on a lot of stuff. Not just the crap going on in the world, not just about COVID and the pandemic and how corrupt the government is and how much, you know, Fauci should be put on trial, found guilty and hanged. But like, I'm trying to learn a program right now that actually generates music. Like, you create MIDI files and make your own music. I'm trying to learn how to do that. And I have virtually zero musical talent at all. But it just looks like fun. So, you know, I'm always trying to learn something. And sometimes I'm not really crazy about what I learn. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was talking about Sirhan Sirhan in this interview. And I'm sure a lot of you guys already know this stuff, especially a lot of you people who regularly hang out at Real Liberty Media in the chat room. But he actually is a proponent for letting Sirhan Sirhan go. And the reason is because he spilled this I don't know if he spilled it. Maybe this information has been out there forever and I just didn't know about it. You know, 63 years old. I remember when John F. Kennedy was killed and when Robert F. Kennedy was killed. I remember those days. And I remember, I mean, I've lived this whole, my whole life to this point, knowing some conspiracy stuff and not knowing other conspiracy stuff. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. himself says, Sirhan Sirhan did not kill his father. And he talked about who did and how it was done. And he talked about how the autopsy was performed so everybody could see the results. So there would be no kind of BS like there was in John F. Kennedy's autopsy and the handling of his body and that whole criminal investigation. I mean, there's just some evidence that clearly shows Sirhan Sirhan didn't do it. So here, you know, I've lived my life thinking Sirhan Sirhan was a jerk and that he should have been put to death a long time ago, when it turns out that's not the case at all, at least according to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So my point about that is, you know, here I gained some information that, I don't know, maybe I guess I would have been okay with either way, knowing or not knowing that. But I know it now. So, you know, it's something else that I eventually have to, I guess, come to grips with in one way or another. Let's see if I can do this part without glasses, shall we? So I just took a couple snippets out of this report. It says natural immunity would have killed the pandemic long ago. And this is because Sweden took a completely different approach. I almost tried to put my glasses on. I'm like, oh, hell no, it's going to screw up my vision in that one good eye. So I'm going to read just a couple parts of this. It says, it is now undeniable that in almost every part of North America, Europe, East Asia, the pandemic is more prolific than it ever was before a single person was vaccinated. Even though most of those countries have nearly every adult vaccinated. Thus, it is impossible to deny that vaccinologists like Geert van den Bosch and Luc Montagnier were correct when they predicted that mass vaccination with a suboptimal, non-sterilizing vaccine in the middle of a pandemic would create vaccine-mediated viral enhancement. It's hard to imagine how people who pushed this strategy did not see this coming. The typical retort to this allegation is that it's all the fault of the Delta, and that somehow things would have been even worse without the shots. The problem with this assertion is that we are seeing the sharpest waves ever in the most vaccinated countries. Also, the fact that Sweden has never gotten a Delta wave demonstrates that natural immunity alone would have ended this pandemic. And this is what I've been saying I think since I started this show. And that is that the only way out of this, whatever it is to let everybody commingle, get the herd immunity naturally, and we'll be done with it. Everything we've done so far has done nothing to improve our health or our lives. So we're still going to have to go through that eventually. The thing is that we keep making variants that are supposedly, worse in one way or another. And oh, I got to tell you something else too. So the other day, I saw this news headline. It said, there's a fear of a surge. And I thought to myself, what kind of worthless headline is that? There's a fear of a surge? Why? It's just a fear. It's like being afraid of the dark. It's just a fear. It didn't say there was a surge. Oh, but you're going to find out that Anthony Fauci is an expert at making fear drive, his programs. So, whoever's trying to start this fear mongering again, I mean, what'll it be this time? The Echo variant, the Foxtrot variant, the Lambda variant, the Mu variant, Psi variant, who knows? But there's a fear of a surge out there. So, of course, we got to take more drastic action, whatever it is. Anyway, but Sweden is a perfect example. I mean, they have natural immunity. It says Central and Eastern Europe are now on fire from the latest wave of the virus, which some researchers suspect is no longer Delta. Putting the variant aside, every single European country has gotten at least one wave of the virus to varying degrees of severity since Delta proliferated in June. The one exception is Sweden. The Scandinavian country now has the second lowest case rate in all of Europe. But more importantly, unlike Spain, which is the lowest, the Swedes never experienced a single Delta wave. Now, a lot of you are saying, oh, but Sweden did get vaccinated. They did, but they did it way late in the game. So it was kind of after they already had herd immunity. It says, thus, it wasn't the vaccination success that stemmed the tide of this variant in Sweden, because Ireland should be doing even better. It's that Sweden was lucky to have achieved herd immunity before the disastrous vaccination campaign made the pandemic worse. With most of the population likely already immune, they are not harmed by any form of vaccine-mediated viral enhancement. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy that, you know, virologists that have studied viruses their entire careers were right all along. All right, 20 minutes to go. Okay, so let's just start out by saying the next section are notes that I took while listening to this interview of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the Corbett Report. I think the notes are accurate, but they might not be. I tried to write things down quickly and let the video play, so I didn't want to stop and go back and make sure I got every detail correct. Mainly it was because I just wanted to get the gist of some of this information down, because after, I think I was probably into it about 20 minutes, when my jaw kind of started to drop. It's kind of like watching Tiger King, although Tiger King, I think your jaw kind of drops right from the beginning, pretty close to the beginning, and then it just stays dropped for the entire series. That's what I remember from watching the Tiger King during the early stages of this COVID lockdown. By the way, I don't know why I didn't know this, and I don't know if I mentioned this last week. We'll just blame that on whatever drug they put me to sleep with this week. Did you know that the federal government owns 50% of the Moderna vaccine rights, whatever that means? I didn't know that until sometime this week. And how I didn't know that, and probably everybody else did, I don't know. Sometimes I miss stuff. I'm a busy guy. I got a lot going on. I got to play EVE Online, you know, for a few hours a day. I got to run my flight simulator a few hours a day. I got to get on the tractor at least a little bit almost every day. I got chores to do. I got to do some dentistry every once in a while. I mean, I'm a busy guy. I don't have time to keep up with everything, but that did kind of shock me that the federal government was in that. Okay, let's get down to brass tacks here. So these are the main points, of course, complete disinformation, I might add, for entertainment purposes only, that I got from the Corbett Report with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He has a new book called The Real Anthony Fauci. I think that's what it's called. You can check and see if that's correct. I do recommend you go listen to that. It's on BitChute. I think it was on YouTube. I wouldn't guarantee it's still on YouTube, but, you know, BitChute's pretty reliable. And the Corbett Report, you can find it there. I do pay for a subscription to the Corbett Report, because I think he's awesome, great source of information, and also, you know, independent news sources too. You know, I think you can find a lot of this stuff. But I did order the book. I'm going to read it. It's stupid because it's a hardback. I refuse to get digital, you know, literature because there's kind of a thing about digital literature. I don't know if you know or not, but you don't ever actually own it, sort of. Like if they decide to change stuff, like let's say you have a history book and somebody decides that part of history is null and void, they can actually just go change the book, I guess. And you know, what you thought was, you know, you pull up that little book on your electronic reader. And you go, yeah, see right here. No, where'd it go? No, that's not what the history book said last time I opened it up. Well, guess what? It's because they can change it whenever they want. So nice printed black and white paper is awesome. Unfortunately, I had to buy this one in hardback, but it was probably worth it. Okay, so since Dr. Fauci has entered into service with the NIH, here's a few interesting points that have happened. Number one, chronic disease has gone up from 11%, which I can't remember when Fauci actually entered the NIH. I think it was it Clinton era or was it before that? I don't know. I'm sorry. You know, like I said, good luck. I didn't document this very well so far. But in the coming weeks, I'll have all this details. Hopefully won't bore you with it. But, if stuff needs to be corrected, I'll correct it. Chronic disease has gone up from 11% of the population to over 50%. So remember, Dr. Fauci is the head of the National Institute of Health in the Public Health Service. The whole job of public health is to increase the health of the population in general, to make the entire population healthier. You know, don't put salt on your food, don't eat too much sugar, cut down on your fat, eat more vegetables, you know, don't smoke, blah, blah, blah. Well, under Dr. Fauci's service, we have gone from having 11% of the population with chronic disease up to over 50% of the population has chronic disease. Now, I can tell you from my personal and professional experience, some of that has to do with changing diagnoses. So, like, I can tell you 40 years ago, nobody ever heard of fibromyalgia. Now, a ton of people have fibromyalgia. Leaky gut syndrome wasn't a thing, you know, 20, 30 years ago. At least we didn't diagnose it as that. Irritable bowel syndrome, another one that, you know, seems kind of common now. I mean, you will run into people, you know, in your life that have irritable bowel syndrome. And, I mean, look at the advertisements. If you watch any kind of TV with commercials, you'll see all of these pharmaceuticals. I mean, look at the pharmaceutical commercials. You can see what ails us. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to get too far like off subject here, but you know, I don't get like regular, I get sort of regular checkups, and I have a pretty good relationship with my primary care physician. And sometimes, you know, during my checkup, he'll say, "Mike, you know, your cholesterol's a little high." And then I have that talk with him. I go, "Yeah, okay, but remember, when they set those cholesterol levels, 11 out of the 12 people on that panel all had stock in the drug that they wanted you to use, the statins, to lower your cholesterol. So really, you know, I'm not really going to take the advice of 11 people who own stock in a drug that lowers cholesterol. I'm not really going to take their advice as to what's a healthy level of cholesterol. Like if my arteries were clogged, if, you know, I was stroking out, you know, having regular TIAs and stuff, might be different." But no, you know, there's a reason why, like after they got half the population on statins, they were like, "You know what? We just don't think that cholesterol level is good enough. We need more people on these statins." So they lowered the number again to drive up some sales. Which I get it, man. People, you know, people, whether good or evil, are driven by greed. You know, and once you kind of get some tons of money, you know, the only thing you see is life is better with more tons of money. Anyway, let's not get hung up on it too much. But my point is, you know, there's new diagnoses for chronic disease, so maybe that had something to do with it. But come on, 50% of the population is diagnosed as having a chronic disease, and this is under Fauci's watch. There's a reason why the population hasn't gotten healthier under Fauci's watch. I bet you can guess what it is. pretty much has everything to do with Dr. Fauci not really giving a crap about the health of the population because he's very busy weaponizing viruses. And we'll get to that in a minute. And food allergies have gone up since 1989. And why hasn't been anything done to fix it? Food allergies. And I remember going through this kind of period in my life where I was like, how can you be allergic to food? Like, how does that happen that you're allergic to food? Well, I have my own opinion about how that happens and how it happened and who's responsible for it. But not really willing to do battle with Monsanto, so I think I won't. Actually, I kind of am, but I don't have big enough weapons. Oh, if I could, I'm telling you. Anyway, food allergies have gone up tremendously under Fauci's watch, and why hasn't been anything been done about it? Nothing's been done about it. It's not being addressed. You know, it's just like, okay, well, if your kid's allergic to peanuts, don't have them, you know, sit next to somebody who's eating peanuts. Don't have them fly on a plane. Don't serve peanuts on a plane, for God's sakes, because you might have somebody who's deathly allergic to peanuts on that plane. That wasn't a thing when I was a kid, but it's sure become a thing now. This is kind of amazing. We have the worst infant mortality rate in first world countries. We went from first to worst. I bet you didn't know that. Did you know that? I was shocked by that. The United States of America has the worst infant mortality rate of first world countries. That is crazy to me. You know, you think we're doing so well because we have all this technology and supposedly all the riches in this country and we have the best minds. Well, we've seen that, maybe is true, maybe isn't, but the best minds sure didn't come through during this pandemic, at least so far. I think they got knocked so far back in the early stages, it's taken them way too long to come back. Okay, so the worst infant mortality rate, food allergies up, chronic diseases gone from 11 to 50%, just under Fauci's watch as the head of the National Institute of Health. He's done an awesome job. The guy makes almost $500,000 in his current position. He's the highest paid government employee, I guess. The Pentagon and the CIA have weaponized the NIH and other departments under Fauci's watch because they did not have the facilities to do it themselves, which is really kind of crazy. Like, you would think that, you know, like our military would have all these secret things, and I'm sure they do, but you would think that they would have all these laboratories and all this, you know, places where they could carry out these dirty deeds. And apparently they just didn't. So they just enlisted Fauci and NIH and that other department, whatever it is, NAIAD. I forget what it stands for. Hang on, drink time. Anyway, yeah, so the Pentagon and the CIA just basically, you know, kind of directed Fauci to start weaponizing viruses and vaccines, and he has, and he's done a very good job, farmed it out to China. What better place? Oh yeah, so this is going to get kind of ugly. So Fauci was also, you know, at the forefront of the AIDS breakout back in the early 80s. Maybe late 70s, early 80s. Of course, it was something else, and it was HIV. It doesn't matter. You all know the history. So it says, my notes, I wasn't very kind. Fauci killed AIDS patients with AZT. But this is what he did to kind of make his research look like it was successful is, so every single rat that they used this AZT on died, and patients were dying too. But in order for Fauci to make it look like his treatment was successful, he would just transfuse these patients, complete blood transfusions, I think daily, to keep them alive long enough to say that they responded well to this treatment. And it wasn't actually until this treatment became available to the populations who needed it that the populations who were using it actually said, hey, you know, this ain't working because everybody's dying. And Fauci already knew that, and he falsified basically his research. Remember, this is for entertainment purposes only. You know, Fauci just kept people alive by giving them massive blood transfusions, you know, every day or every other, however often they needed it to keep them going, just long enough so he could say that this worked. Then Fauci started using foster children to carry out these drug tests. Now listen, this was probably the most bizarre thing I heard in this interview. Please go listen to it yourselves. I do have a link to it in the show notes. It is worth listening to. Yep, I have a link. And it's an open link. You don't have to pay a subscription price or anything. It's on BitChute. You should be able to get it. Now listen to this. So Fauci, I don't know how he did this, enlisted. I don't know the right word to use. Enslaved. I think enslaved is the right word to use. So Fauci enslaved foster children to carry out drug tests on AIDS-infected children, HIV-infected children. Now, specifically, he looked for foster children who didn't have a guardian. It was kind of like that was the qualifier, is the children had to not have a guardian, okay? And he carried out these drug tests on these kids, foster kids, and they were mostly black and Hispanic. Now, why people of color aren't up in arms over Fauci, like why aren't they rioting in the streets calling for this guy's head on a spike, I don't know. I can only assume that they don't know this, but it's documented. So, anyway, he forced these drug trials on these children, mostly black and Hispanic, I'm just saying, foster children with no guardians, mostly black and Hispanic. And if they didn't cooperate, they would be admitted to Columbia Hospital. They would be forced feeding tubes, and the experiments were continued. And there is a report that there is one pit at this cemetery called the Gates of Heaven Cemetery contains the bodies of 85 children from Fauci's experiments. So everybody was crazy when they saw the beagles, you know, with their head in this freaking chamber being eaten alive by sandflies for whatever freaking reason Fauci would even do that, I don't know. But guess what? It's worse. He used live human beings, children, to carry out his experiments. And once that kind of ran its course, they took the roadshow to Africa. So I just had one more note, but we're basically out of time. The bottom line is, no, I'm not even going to say it because there's no sense in bringing it up. I just wanted to say this. We're learning stuff all the time. I think knowledge is power, one way or another. I don't know why. I know a lot of people are fatalistic about where we are right now. Sometimes I am too. But you know what? I know one thing. We're going to live our lives. We're going to try and be happy. We're going to continue to be free as long as we can be free. And if you know truth, I think you're better off than not knowing truth. I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Thanks for joining me this week. And I hope you guys have a great week. I'm going to have a great week too. Happy Thanksgiving on Thursday. I will see you Saturday of next week. Hey, thanks for listening to the show here today with me, Dr. Mike, the Redneck Dentist.